Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the grace that has come upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we have to be in your presence. Dear Lord, your people have gathered, O God. Lord, you know my weaknesses. You know my inadequacies, O Lord. I pray, O Father, that you show mercy. I pray, Lord, that you speak to us. Father, may it not be about any man, but may it be all about you. For Lord, we have gathered to hear you. May we not hear a man speaking, but may we hear the voice of God. May we hear only the encrypted word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have even to be here this moment, this time, this day. We give you all the glory. We thank you. Speak to us, Spirit of God. We invite your presence. Take control of this service. We love you, Jesus. We invite you, dwell amongst us, and speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you sit in the presence of the Lord as you clap for Jesus? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Amen. Wonderful. Are you ready to hear what the Lord has for us? Wonderful. I believe you are blessed. God is going to speak to us. This evening, I'm going to share a very simple message with you, a very short message. And it's the Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd. I'm going to share with you about the Great Shepherd. Hallelujah. The Great Shepherd. How many of you like that someone will lead you, someone will guide you? You have a shepherd who watches over your life, who cares about you. That sometimes you'll be doing certain things wrong and you are not even aware, but you have someone who overlooks you. Hallelujah. I want a shepherd like that. Amen. And I want to assure you this evening that you have a great shepherd. Hallelujah. Not an ordinary shepherd, but a great shepherd. Amen. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 7. Isaiah verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse number 17. Says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Hallelujah. If you read from the New Living Translation, it says, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, it says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is good for you. Who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the path you should follow." Hallelujah. He says, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you." Hallelujah. You see, a lot of times we think we know what is good for us. A lot of times we choose things based on our wisdom. A lot of times we choose things based on our analysis. Hallelujah. A lot of times we make choices based on what we see. But God is saying, I will teach you what is good for you. It means that you don't know what is good for you. It means that everything that you are choosing based on your analysis and based on your calculations and based on your observation, it's not good for you. Everything that you are choosing and you have not sought the face of God is not good for you. Because if it is good for you, God will not say that he will teach you what is good for you. Hallelujah. So the man that you have in your mind, the man, the description of a man for which reason you say, my type is not here, that my type is not around, that my type is not here, that he is not my type, that the man has approached you, God has brought some, you say, he's not my type. You don't know what is good for you. I said, you don't know what is good for you. God said, you don't know what is good for you. He says, I will teach you what is good for you. Hallelujah. You don't know what is good for you. Nice Christian sister that the Lord has brought your way. You say, she's not my type because of the way she walks. She has K-legs. And that is, you are assessing what God has for you because of K-legs. You say, she's not my type. Why? She doesn't know how to walk in high heels. She doesn't know how to walk in high heels. That is why she's not your type. God says, you don't know what is good for you. And I will teach you what is good for you. I will teach you what is good for you. Hallelujah. He says, I will teach you what is good for you. It means you don't know what is good for you. Hallelujah. He says, he will direct you. He will direct you. It means God will direct us to things that are good for us, to things that are beneficial to us. Hallelujah. He says, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you what is good for you. Amen. God's desire is to bring you to a place where you will be surrounded by green pastures, if only he is your shepherd. Hallelujah. And I say, you have such a shepherd. Amen. I say, you have such a shepherd. Hallelujah. You don't know what you benefit from. You don't know what is good for you. You are looking at a man who is just working at this place, and so you are looking at where he's working, and you say, that is not my type. You don't know what is good for you. You don't know what is good for you. Hallelujah. I remember when they first found a job for me. When I arrived in this country, I can see. And they said, let's go and find a job for you. And they took me to a place and they made me fill a form. And they didn't even ask me anything. They said, they've given you the job. Come and get your uniform. I went and I took my uniform. The uniform was too big for me. But they said, that is the size that is available. You have to wear it. So I wore the uniform, folded the pants, and I was in it. And they said, you have to wear the uniform from home and come to the job. And then when I arrived at the job, they showed me a place. They said, this is where you will stand. Throughout your shift, you are going to stand here. I said, what kind of job is this? And I said, what am I going to do? He said, you see the people who are coming and going. If you see any criminal act, you have to talk to them. Hey! So I said, what is my title? They said, your title is a security officer. I said, wow, that sounds like a powerful thing. But when I investigated and I found that thing was a watchman. I said, hey, watchman, power watchman, me art watchman. I said, that's a watchman. We call it watchman. What security officer? I am a watchman. And then when I look at the people who will come and then go, and I said, this watchman cannot handle these people. So when I went home, I said, this job. So I told her, I said, this job. So if my wife had looked at my job in my uniform, that day, my oversized uniform, when I was in the uniform, you could not even see me. But God said, you don't know what is good for you. Hallelujah. You don't know what is good for you. Amen. Don't look at that man and say, you are not my type. Because you don't know what is good for you. Tell the neighbor, you don't know what is good for you. Hallelujah. You don't know what is good for you. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Say, I have thought about it and I have analyzed certain things and I have thought about certain things and I have considered certain things. I don't think you and I are compatible. You don't know what is good for you. You don't know what is good for you. Because of your analysis. Psalm 32 and verse 8. God is teaching you. Says, I will teach you what is good for you. I will teach you what is good for you. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Hallelujah. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. He says, I will guide thee with mine eyes. I will guide thee with mine eyes. He says, I will instruct thee. I will instruct thee and then do what? Teach thee in the way which thou should go. In the direction which you should go. And he says, I will guide you with mine eyes. I will guide you with mine eyes. God will guide you with his eyes. I said, God will guide you with his eyes. Now, if God is going to guide you with his eyes, it means that you ought to stay in the sight of God all the time. It means that God has to see you. It means that when God calls his children, you have to be there. Because his eyes will be where he's expecting his children. It means you have to stay in God's radar all the time. He says, I will guide you with my eyes. I will guide you with my eyes. So it means you should not let God lose sight of you. Because he's guiding you with his eyes. He's directing you with his eyes. He's showing you where to go with his eyes. He says, I will teach you where to go. I will teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will instruct thee. And how he's going to do that, he says, I will do that with my eyes. Hallelujah. It means that you also, you have to keep your eyes on God. Because you are waiting to hear God. You are waiting for God to tell you something. You are waiting to hear him say something to you. But he says that, keep your eyes on me and let me see you, because I am going to guide you with my eyes. I'm going to instruct you with my eyes. I will show you where to go with my eyes. You may not hear him, but he will guide you with his eyes. Hallelujah. He will guide you with his eyes. Amen. He will give you the message. You will get the message when you are making eye contact with him. When you are staying in his radar. Hallelujah. And then he says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He says, do not be like a fox. You see, do not be beaten before you will move. Anytime you feel compelled, you see, God, he will lead you. God will lead you. It means that when you are moving, when you are doing something and you feel compelled, you feel something is pushing you to do that, that is not a spirit. God leads you. And so when God is leading you, you find yourself moving freely. You don't feel compelled. Anytime you are getting into any relationship and you feel certain pressure, something is pushing you, something is pressing you to get into the relationship. Sometimes the pressure that is on you is, I am getting old and I'm getting old. I need to get married. My friends are getting married. And you feel pressure on you. That pressure is not the Spirit of God. Whenever you are being forced, and parents are asking you, when are you going to get married? You are getting old. You need to have children by this age. You need to have this by that. I need to see my grandchildren before I die. What are you waiting for? And you feel the pressure, and you feel the pressure, and you feel compelled. That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, it leads. It leads. He says, He leads me beside the still. All my friends are getting married. All my friends are getting jobs. All my friends work in this place. Why can I not work? Why can I also not work? And you feel pressure. Sometimes you feel compelled to do certain things that are out of the will of God. You feel pressure. It is not the Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of God. Sometimes you see God guiding you into having some simple celebration, but you feel compelled and people are giving you ideas. Why can't you do this? You need to do that. You need to have this. And then sometimes you are compelled because of this person had this grand ceremony or this big wedding. I also have to have a wedding like that. And you feel so compelled. And then sometimes you have to borrow and then you have to take from here and do this. And by the time you finish, you realize that you've been the joy that is supposed to be in the marriage, it is not there anymore. See that it's not there. See that it's not there. Hallelujah. I had an experience counseling this couple who had just gotten married, and they married right after they came from the honeymoon. They were ready to separate. Because the loans that they had, I believe all the honeymoon they were talking about the loans and how you told me to take this money and afterwards you are going to pay this and you are going to, that is all the conversation they had. They continued with that until they came back, and as soon as they arrived, there was a need for counseling. But when God is leading you, when God is guiding you, sometimes your pastors will give you advice, don't do this, do that, do this, but you feel compelled. Do what the other ones are doing also. Hallelujah. And it says, we must not be like the mule. We must not be like the horse who will not move when it is instructed. The horse will not move. The mule will not move when it's instructed. You have to beat it. You have to have bits in the mouth and drag it and direct it. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. He says, keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. He says, keep your eyes on Him. If He is your shepherd, just keep your eyes on Him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, and say, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord. With how much of your heart? How much of your heart? With all thine heart. With all thine heart. Sometimes people will offend you. People will do things to you. And then you say, as for this, we'll put the church aside. As for this, we'll put the church aside. The moment you say that, you put the church aside. Now you are leaning on your own heart now. You are leaning on your own understanding. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He says, put your trust in God with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. He says, do not lean on your understanding. But he says, in all of your ways, in all of your ways, in everything that you are doing, in every step that you take, he says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. God may not say something, you may not hear something, you may not see something, but he will direct your path. It means that as you are going in this direction, he will put something to block your sight that you will take this path. He will direct your path. Sometimes it is a man that you want to marry or a woman that you want to marry so badly, and you put all your love, all your heart in the relationship, and the person says, no, I am not marrying you. God has put a block there so that you will turn away from this man, so that you will turn away from this woman. He says he will direct your path. Sometimes the things that he will direct will be the people who are around you. He will speak to the person and say, don't marry that woman, and God is directing your path. So sometimes you feel so let down, you feel so disappointed, but least would you know that he is directing your path, because he says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, in that decision making, he says, lean on him and he will direct your path. Sometimes you apply for a job, the job that you wanted so badly, and finally you get an interview. You have one job, you have sent resume, almost 50 resumes to the same place. And finally they say, come. And then with all your hopes, you prayed and you went. And he says, if you have put your trust in me and you have put all your heart in me, then I will not make you work at that place. And he's directing your path. Hallelujah. As a Christian, don't force your way. As anything that you are forcing, you are forcing. You see, keep your eyes on God. Keep your when someone is directing you with his eyes, you see that there is no pressure. You just look at the person's eyes and then you are moving. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding the word of God? Psalm 119 and verse 105. I'm going to show you how God guides you, how the Lord guides us. Hallelujah. Number one, how the Lord guides us. Psalm 119 and verse 105. He guides us through his word. Psalm 119 and verse number 105. He guides us through his word. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. One of the ways that God will guide you is through his word. So it means that there can be darkness. There can be a situation where you are in dilemma. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. He says that his word, in that darkness, his word will be a lamp unto your feet and will be a light on your path. It means that God will direct you. He will make you take a step by step and a turn by turn to bring you to where he wants to bring you. God's word will direct you. God's word will guide you. God's word will take you where you have to be. God's word will lead you where you have to be. Hallelujah. He says his word will guide you. His word will direct you. Hallelujah. As a Christian, if he is your shepherd, then one of the ways that he will guide you, one of the ways that he will lead you, is through his word. Amen. It is through his word. He will guide you through his word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. He will guide you through his word. Look at that. It says, this book of the law. What is the book of the law? It's the Bible, the word of God. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein when? Day and night. Day and night. Does your activity involve day and night? Do you live in a day and night? It means that always, all the time. He says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. To do all that is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. If you are looking for good success, it says it is through his word. Give me the New Living Translation in this scripture. He says, study this book of instructions continually. Study this book of instructions continually. You see, sometimes we are so much in a hurry and we say, we have to be there, we have to be there. And the reason is that there's something that if you don't go there, you don't get there quickly, you will miss. Some success that if you don't go there, it will become a failure. If you are late there, it will become a failure. And you want success. But he says, if you want success, then what you have to do is to pause and study this book of instructions continually. Sometimes we are so much in a hurry to leave home. And we say, we cannot even meditate on a scripture. We cannot even read a scripture and take with us and meditate on it. Because you are in so much a hurry to get success. You are so much in a hurry to get a paycheck. You are so much in a hurry to get money for the rent. And so you say, Lord, I am late. And so you leave what the book of instructions, you leave it home. And you are running. But he says, study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Look at what follows. He says, only then. That means there is no other way. There is no, he said, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you. Only then. Students, only then. In school, only then will you prosper and succeed in the career that you are pursuing. Only then that you will pause and say, I am going to take a test and I don't have a lot of time, but the word of God, I have to meditate on it. I have to do my quiet time before I step out. I have to do my quiet time before I sit for this exam. Because it says, only then. And so sometimes you think as you are going and you are passing and you are doing this, you think that this is the way. You are, because you are leaning on your own understanding. And you say, this is the way. But it says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Only then, when you meditate on his words. When you meditate on his words. It says, only then. But sometimes we are so busy. We are running and we are going. Give me Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 again. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And then it says, in all your ways, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now verse 7. It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. What does the King James say? He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You are making choices based on your eyes. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. It means be not wise in what you see. Don't let what you see deceive you as you are making a wise decision. Don't make what you see that he has a job that he wears a suit and a tie every day and he goes and he drives a nice car. Don't let your eyes be deceiving. Don't let your eye deceive you that when he's in church, he's a very calm gentleman, very quiet. Very quiet. Very, very quiet. Even dancing, he's so shy. He cannot dance. You know, he just moves. He can't dance. Don't be deceived. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Because that is what you see. That is what you are seeing. That is what you are, that he's not a good looking. He's not good looking. Good. Who said that good looking is what is good for you? Who said that good looking is going to bring you joy? Who said that good looking can bring you peace? He's not good looking. He's not good looking. He's not good looking. Hallelujah. She doesn't know how to do makeup. Mercy on you. She doesn't know how to do makeup. And so you are not marrying her. She puts the lipstick is and the eyebrows. You don't like it. You don't like the eyebrows, the way she does her eye. And that's the reason why you are not. You don't know what is good for you. Hallelujah. You don't know what is good for you. Amen. It says, meditate on his word. Meditate on his word. Be not wise in your own eyes. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 26. I hope somebody is being blessed. I hope somebody is changing his ways of making decisions. Psalm 119 and verse 26. He says, I have declared my ways. Look, he says, give me the New Living Translation. He says, I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. You see, we have plans, and sometimes we go before the Lord and we tell him of our plans. We tell him what we want. We tell him what we want him to do for us. But you have to say, now teach me, because he says he will teach you what is good for you. Have you told God of your plans? Are you sticking with your plans, or now you are waiting for him to analyze your plans and teach you what is good for you and teach you which path you should take or which way you should go? He says, I told you of my plans. Now teach me your decrees. Teach me your decrees. Teach me your word. Hallelujah. Teach me your word. Now, number two, the way God guides us is through prayer. God will guide you through prayer. Your great shepherd, he will guide you through prayer. The shepherd will guide you through prayer. The shepherd will guide you through prayer. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11. He will guide you through prayer. He will guide you through prayer. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God speaking. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. God's thoughts concerning you, they are always thoughts of peace. Sometimes God may ask you to do certain things and may look as though it is not a peaceable thought. It looks as though it's not peaceful. It looks as though there's no peace around in it. But he says, I know. That's how it looks. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That is his condition. That is established. That he will do. That he has made the plans. He says he knew you before you were formed in the womb. So even when before you were born, he made these plans for you. He knew you were one day supposed to become a lady pastor. He knows that. And he has made all those plans. He is going to now guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to direct your path to come to that expected end. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then he says, the next scripture, he says, then shall ye call upon me. You see, God has a plan. God has a plan concerning you. God has some thoughts about you. At the same time, he says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall do what? Go and pray. Isn't that amazing that this scripture follows that scripture about God's thoughts about you? He says, I have thoughts about you. I said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray, and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Concerning his thoughts, he still expects that you pray about his thoughts about you. So it should be your prayer that, Lord, all the thoughts that you have about me, let them come to pass. Hold to his word. He says, I have thoughts about you. I know, and he knows the thoughts that he thinks about you. So it means that about each one of us, God has special thoughts about us. It means that you become even a fool to compare yourself to another person. Because we don't know the thoughts that God has about you. So why are you comparing yourself to another person? It means that the thoughts that God has about this person should be the same thoughts that he has about this person. That is why they are comparing. That is why the Bible says comparing themselves one to another, they are not wise. Because the thoughts that he has about this one is different from this one. And he says that you pray about the thoughts that I have concerning you. You pray about them. Because I know the thoughts already. I know them. He says, I know the thoughts. But I expect that you pray. That means that when there's a prayer meeting, he expects you to be here. That means that when there's a prayer meeting and you don't come, you don't care about his thoughts concerning you. You don't care about his plans concerning you. But why would you not care about his plans concerning you? Because he says, these thoughts, these plans that I have for you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. No wonder you are never having peace. Because you don't want his thoughts. You don't want his plans. But he says, come and pray concerning the thoughts that I have for you. Come and pray. He says, then shall you call upon me. And he will answer. He will hearken unto you. Hallelujah. Is somebody being blessed? You're almost done preaching. Since he knows the thoughts that he has for you. He has thoughts for you. God has thoughts for you. God has thoughts concerning your life. Hallelujah. The next one, the way God will guide you is through dreams and visions. Through dreams and visions. Job chapter 33, verse 15. Job chapter 33 and verse 15. Job chapter 33, verse 15. The next, another way that God guides us is through dreams and visions. Another way that God directs us is through dreams and visions. Hallelujah. Job chapter 33 and verse 15. He says, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumbering upon the bed, when you are deep asleep, when you are spreading yourself as though you don't care about anything. Some of you, when you are tired and sometimes when you are tired and you sleep, you know, people should not be around you. Hallelujah. But in that state, he says, in dreams and in vision, when men falleth asleep and is slumbering upon their bed, he says, then he openeth the ears of men and sealed their instructions. He opened your ears and he seals his instructions. That is why a Christian should not take his dreams for a joke at all. A Christian should not take, because it is one of the powerful ways that God speaks to us. It is one of the most powerful ways that God gives us instructions. He says, when you are that free, when you are sleeping, because the God that you serve, he says, the God of Zion, he neither slumbers nor sleep. So when you are sleeping, he visits you, he comes to you, and he opens your ears and he seals your instructions. So when you wake up and you say, oh, I had a dream about this, and then you're supposed to pick up a book, God's instruction. That is God's instruction for you. So you should have a book and you write that dream in it. Some of you have dreams every evening, and then you wake up, you don't even remember the dream. God's instructions, you say, you don't remember. And you don't pray about the dream. You say, Lord, you spoke to me. What were you saying? You don't even pray about it. You just had a dream and the dream just passed by. God has given you an important instruction. Important instruction. Then you ignore that instruction and then you come again and pray. And then he'll visit you, give you the answer. And then you ignore it. Christians should not take their dreams for a joke at all. Hallelujah. Christians should not take their dreams for a joke at all. You dream and some cow is chasing you and then you wake up and say, as for cow, what is this? What is this dream that cow is chasing me? Oh. You want to dream that you see some nice guy meeting you and then looking like he's wearing a tuxedo, like he's having a wedding. He says, this is it, this is it. That dream, you will never forget it. That is a dream that you never forget. You want to dream, students, you want to dream that God will open a book, a page. This is where the questions are coming from. That is a dream that you will remember. But God will visit you and he tells you, and he will visit you and he will give you instruction that this friend, that friend, that friend, stay away from them. And then when you wake up, you like this friend so much. This cannot be. This is a very good person. It cannot be. And then you attribute it to the devil telling you bad things about your friend. But he says that as a Christian who focuses on him, he will visit you in a slumbering upon your bed and he will open your ears and he will seal his instructions. He will seal his instructions. Sometimes you are sitting somewhere and just a few minutes, a day, and there's a vision. And you wake up and you ignore it. You ignore it. God has just given you a vision. It says in dreams and in visions. Hallelujah. In dreams and in visions. So Christians should not take their dreams for a joke. Hallelujah. Christians should not take their dreams for a joke. You want the last one before we go home? The last one that I can give you tonight. Through his pastors, God will guide you and direct you through his pastors. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. You see, the Bible says that the blessings of the Almighty God, he maketh rich and he added no sorrow. He says he will give you pastors according to his heart. He will give you pastors according to his heart. God is not giving you pastors haphazardly. Just throw you some pastors. But he will give you pastors according to his heart. Hallelujah. He will give you pastors according to his heart. He will give you pastors that are dear to his heart. He will give you pastors not from his feelings, but according to his heart. Hallelujah. According to his heart. And not according to your heart. Not according to your heart. And so if you say that my heart is not flowing with, God is not giving you a pastor according to your heart. He's giving you a pastor according to his heart. So your heart is not flowing with a pastor, or my heart is not in it and I don't feel it. Why should you feel it? God did not tell you about a place where you should feel it. That I don't feel I belong here. I don't flow. I don't. God is giving you a pastor according to his heart. Lord, give me a pastor according to my feeling. That I feel that I am feeling him. I'm feeling him. You will never feel me because God will not give you a pastor according to my feelings. Mr. Seward, did God say he will give us pastors according to our feelings? According to his heart. According to his heart. And so every pastor that God brings your way, he's giving you according to his heart. Auntie Nancy, according to God's heart. He says, I don't belong there. I don't feel there. I don't flow with the people. Flow with the people. God will not give you a pastor where you flow with the people. He will give you a pastor according to his heart. Hallelujah. So stop that roughness. I'm leaving. I'm leaving because I don't flow with the choir leader. I am leaving because I don't flow with the praise and worship leader. I am leaving. God will not give you a pastor according to a feeling of your praise and worship leader, and according to the feeling of your choir leader, and according to the feeling of the way the ushers treat you. That I don't feel right. I don't like the way the ushers treat me. And that is the reason why you are leaving. What God has given you according to his own heart. Is that the reason why you are leaving? Hallelujah. And you are asking for so many things from him. He says he will give you pastors according to his heart. And their responsibility is not for your wedding. Their responsibility is not for your birthday. Their responsibility is not that your baby shower was nice, that they gave you things on your baby shower. Their responsibility is not for your funeral. Their responsibility for giving you pastors according to his own heart is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is the reason why he's giving you pastors according to his own heart. That is the reason. He's not giving you a pastor that will attend your baby shower and a pastor that will come to your wedding. And the way the pastor didn't come to my wedding and he sent somebody, and because of that, I have left the church. The way they didn't travel and come to this place, he himself didn't come when I was this, and so on and so forth. And that is why you are leaving. He's giving you a pastor, and the responsibility is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And if you are in the place and you say, since he came here, my knowledge and understanding of the scriptures has deepened, then God has given you a pastor according to his own heart. Then God has given you a pastor according to his own. When you say, I came to church and I understood the scripture. When he was reading the scriptures to me, I understood it. And now my understanding of the scriptures are different. I understand my relationship with God now. I understand what true love means. I understand what it means to have a relationship with. If the pastor has done that, then God has given you a pastor according to his own heart. Because that is the purpose for which he gave you a pastor. That is the purpose. He has done what he wanted for you, and he has given you a pastor according to his heart. Hallelujah. And a lot of time, and he has given you a pastor according to his heart. And then you say, I don't want him. And then I'm going somewhere to look for a place where I have feelings, to look for a place where I have this, to look for a place where I feel this and I see this and I've done this. Let me show you another scripture in Matthew chapter 23. And we can go home. So you have left. You are going to find. He's giving you a pastor according to your heart. But you have left. And you are going. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Look at that. After God has given you a pastor to feed you with knowledge and understanding, to bring you closer to him, that you understand his ways, that you understand how to relate to him. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he feels sorry for you that he gave you such a pastor and you left. He says, it was out of my heart that I gave you a man of God like this. It was out of my heart that I gave you a woman of God like this. It was out of my heart that I brought this person into your life. And you don't want to have anything to do with him. And then you are seeking for, you are going somewhere. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You see, it's sad. It is sad. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophet, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Sometimes when you gather in your house, you stop stoning the pastor. Stop saying all sorts of things about the pastor. Because by the grace of God, the pastor will feed you with knowledge. The pastor will feed you with understanding. And if he's doing that, that is all God has called him to do. That is all that God has called him to do. And if he's also able to do that, God will also welcome him and say, well done. How faithful. Well done. Well done. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? This is what God is trying to do. He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and he will not. He's trying. Every time he's trying, but you are scattering. Every time he's trying to gather you, he wants to bring you here, but you are scattering. He says, and you will not. In the next scripture, he says, behold, your house, since I gave you a pastor according to my heart and you rejected him, your house is left unto you desolate. Your house is left unto you desolate. You see, sometimes we trivialize certain things. It's not just as simple as, I don't feel it, I'm not feeling something. And you say, your house is left unto you desolate. Sometimes you think you have made some wise decision. Your house, you see that there's no peace in your house. There is no growth in your house. There's no prosperity. Because what God thought of you and gave you something out of his heart, you did not take it. He says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. It will continue to be desolate until the next scripture, which is, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me. You are going somewhere to look for me. You are going somewhere that I will fly there and then you will feel me. He says, you shall not see me. You will not feel me. You can run and go. You can come under prophet 1 and prophet 50 and prophet 31. You will not feel me. You will not see me. He says, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he who cometh in the name. Blessed is he, until you receive the one that he gave you out of his heart. He says, you shall not feel me. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Until you receive, you shall not feel me. Hallelujah. Our time is up. Stand unto your feet. And let us bring the service to a close. Until you say, blessed is he that cometh. Until you say, blessed is he that cometh. God will guide you. He says, don't rely on the wisdom of your eyes. Don't rely on the wisdom of your eyes. Don't rely on the wisdom of your eyes. Because what your eyes see is so limited. He says, just keep your eyes on him. Just look at him. Stay under his radar. Let him guide you, and he will guide you with his own eyes. He will guide you with his own eyes. He will lead you. He will lead you. Where he's bringing you, it is still waters. Where he's bringing you, it is green pastures. Where he's bringing you, it is peace. He has plans. It's to bring you to a place where there is peace. Where there is still waters. Where there's still waters. Where there's peace. Where there's calmness. Where you are is not where you want to. There's too much agitation. Too much agitation in that place. Too much agitation. But he's bringing you to a place. 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 Yes. He's bringing you to a place.
Wherever you may go, I will go.
Oh, yes. Is that your song?
Shepherd of my soul.
Sing it prayerfully and repent. Sing it.
As you repent.
Will you give him full control? Do you
wherever
give him full control?
Oh,
is that so? Oh, then he will lead you. If that is your prayer, if that is your song, he will lead you. He will lead you. Your feelings are in the way. Your feelings are in the way. Your pride is in the way. Your sight is in the way. You are too awake. You are too conscious of yourself. You are too awake. Oh, let him lead you. Let him lead you. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. He's leading you. He's leading you. When he's leading you, there's no fear. There is no fear. When he is leading you, there is no fear. Yes. Oh. Yes. Oh, he will guide you. I say he will guide you. Yes. He will guide you. Yes. Oh, he's always leading you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never forsake you. Yes. Oh. Be valleys that can see, but he is directing your path. There will be mountains.
Yes.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control.
Yes, Lord.
Wherever you
I
wherever you will take us. Yes, Lord. We are grateful unto you. We thank you, O Lord. He says, you are the shepherd. You are indeed a shepherd. And Lord, when you are leading, we shall not want. Father, we have realized that whenever we rely on you, we shall not be in want. Because you say you will lead us, O God. You say you will make us lie down in green pastures, O God. Oh, you say you will lead us, O Lord, beside still waters. Father, if we keep our eyes on you, we will come to a place of still waters. You say you will restore our soul. You will restore our soul. You will lead us in the path where there is only righteousness, oh God. Righteousness, oh Lord. And that you do for your sake, for your name of your, for the sake of your name, oh God. You will lead us in the path of righteousness. Yeah, Lord. You say even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh God. We may be in the valley of the shadow of death. We are not afraid, oh God, because you say you will lead us. You say you will be by our side. You say you will still be with us. You say, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Father, we are grateful unto you. May you always comfort us. You say, we shall not fear no evil. We shall not fear any evil. We shall not be afraid of any demonic presence because you are guiding us. You say, because we have made you Jehovah Jireh, because we have made you, O Lord, because we call you our Abba Father, because we call you our God. You say, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling place, because you forever become our inhabitants. Forever you become our habitation, O God.
The shepherd of my soul, be my God.
Lord, we are grateful unto you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us what is good for us. We thank you for showing us what is good for us. Father, we have searched and we have searched. But thank you, Lord, that you have given us a direction. A direction where will lead us to what is good for us. A direction where will lead us to a place of our expectation. A place of an expected end. We thank you. We glorify your name. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, oh great shepherd. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here this evening, you want to give your life to Jesus. If there's anyone here like that, you want to give your life to Jesus. Anyone here like that? You want to say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. If that is your prayer, I just want you to lift up your right hand. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Anyone here like that? You say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life. Anyone here like that? You say, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want him to be my shepherd. I want him to guide me. I want him to direct me. When I'm making decisions about where to work, about whom to marry, about where to live, about what to buy, what to wear, I want you to guide me. I want you to guide me. I want you in my life. Anyone here like that, you want Jesus to come into your life? You want to give your life to Jesus? See, I'm not born again.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.